This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to Hour 3 of The Lake Show. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. And there is a lot going on in the National Football League. And not so much U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday, but the Vikings will play the Packers. Could potentially be Harrison Smith's last game of his career. Could be C.J. Ham's last game of his career, who has, I think, been a quietly great Viking captain for them. Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee, and deserves his flowers as well if he decides to hang it up after this. He did leave the door open for that. So, but there are much more relevant games, a couple of them going on Saturday. Panthers and Bucks at 3:15, and then Seahawks and 49ers. Could be Game of the Year type stuff to decide the National Football Conference. So, Chris Tubbs has put together Around the NFL. Fire it up, Tubbs. What do we got?
Well, if that Niners-Seahawks game is anything like that Seahawks-Rams game, we are in for a treat.
Or Niners and Bears.
Niners and Bears,
incredible.
Yeah. So let's start out with the purple and gold. I know that the Vikings are going to mess around and could very well play themselves out of a fourth-place schedule. And that seems to be just a lot of consternation. But here's my question for you. You want J.J. McCarthy to go into the offseason with some sort of momentum. So are you team tank to get a better schedule? Because you'd also need Detroit to lose to Chicago because you got the tiebreaker over Detroit. But are you team tank or team just get the win over a very uninterested Green Bay team?
When you look at the rules that the NFL set up, one of the things that they did brilliantly that Major League Baseball may have not thought of is they created the rules to help the teams that are bad. So if you are worse, like the Raiders were worse than the Giants last week, you get the number one draft pick. You know what the best place to draft is? Number one, historically. There was a stat, I don't remember it exactly, but it's something like half of the players in the Hall of Fame are drafted in the top seven or something, right? So if you're bad,
that's crazy.
Right. You're bad, you get good players to help you get better. And that's why teams are always rising and falling. And that's why every franchise's fans believe in them. And one of the reasons the Vikings are stuck in neutral for their entire existence. And by the way, you know this? The Vikings have three playoff wins since the Wilfs took over as the owners, which is 21st in the NFL, like the 21st most playoff wins since they took over 20 years ago. You know, being stuck in the middle, you can criticize those teams that tank and draft Caleb Williams first overall and other first round picks and make big investments after they have torn their rosters apart to fix their salary cap situations, or the Lions, who completely tanked and then reached an NFC championship and were one completion on a fourth down away from going to the Super Bowl. I am always use the rules to your advantage. It's not necessarily always tank. It's just use whatever rules you can.
Sure.
When we look at the teams next year in the NFC that are going to be the three versus the four seeds, there's a difference, especially in the NFC West. It's the Cardinals or the Rams. The Rams have 11 wins and could win the Super Bowl. The Cardinals are a three-win team. Which would you rather play? The Falcons and Saints is probably a bit of a push, but I'd rather play the Saints. And then in the East, the Commanders, they won four games because Jaden Daniels got hurt.
Right. NFC Championship game last year.
He'll probably be good next year. The Giants are a calamity. The difference everywhere. Think about everywhere across the league. The difference between the Browns and the Bengals is Shedeur Sanders slash no one at quarterback versus Burrow. The difference between the Raiders and the Chiefs, the difference between the Titans and the Colts, I mean, there's a gap. It's just the facts that they've set it up to help the teams that are bad, so it's better. But the Vikings are motivated to get over 500. They're motivated to get Jefferson 1,000 yards, McCarthy a good performance. And ultimately, those things mean absolutely nothing to winning in the future, which is all Vikings, the franchise, have right now. So, of course, use the rules to your advantage, but I'm not going to say they should pull starters and try to lose on purpose or anything. You'd like to see McCarthy play well. You'd like to see Harrison Smith go out if he is going out on a high note. So, you know, I think it matters with the schedule. It doesn't matter a lot to draft status, but it does matter with the schedule. It's undeniable.
I think that if you go into the offseason with J.J. McCarthy having a bad game against Green Bay, I think that is going to be gnashing of teeth, and just the pitchforks are going to be out for anybody and everybody. So, okay, what would be considered a successful week for the Minnesota Vikings? Best case scenario, you walk out of U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday afternoon. It's a good week if what happens?
J.J. McCarthy does not get hurt. I mean, that's really it. I don't so much care how he plays. I mean, if he doesn't play that well, okay. Well, he didn't play that well all year. And if he plays really well, okay, it's a preseason game. It's not the Green Bay Packers. It's the Green Bay Packers scout team. That's who you're playing.
So is it a no-win situation for J.J.? Well, you played well, but you played well against a bunch of backups. Or you played like crap and you couldn't even handle backups.
Well, I think it is a win because you can talk about confidence going into the offseason, getting some chemistry with Jefferson, getting just a good feeling of winning your last four starts to go into the offseason. But the evaluation for the Vikings should be over. They will not and should not look at this game at all as part of their bigger decision
making.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if I mean the Matt Flynn example is my favorite one of all time.
Oh, God. 468
yards and 6 touchdowns in the last week of the season, got a big contract and then never did anything ever again.
Yep. Yeah. So what kind of, we kind of touched on this earlier, if we're talking about a vet coming in, because I do agree that J.J. McCarthy should not be just handed the job. What kind of a veteran quarterback do you pursue? Do you pursue someone that is a real quote-unquote competition like a Mac Jones, or do you go out and you take a big shot for a Joe Burrow, for Lamar? I mean, you dip your toe in the water of a high-quality vet and then say, you know what, JJ's gonna take a step back for an entire season. We're gonna focus 1 year on this vet. Because you could say that Aaron Rodgers wanted to be that guy this year.
Yeah, I still think it was the right decision not to go with Rodgers, because look where they're at. And that's where you'd be at. You'd just be kind of mid with an old quarterback, and you would have gotten J.J. McCarthy no playing, and you wouldn't have learned anything about him. And what would you really gain by being a 9-8 or 10-7 team with a quarterback who couldn't get you likely over the top? I mean, I guess it's still possible, but they're fighting for a playoff spot in the last game of the season and are not that good.
Well, they could have been if it wasn't for DK Metcalf being an idiot and getting himself suspended.
It is very clear to me that if you have a chance to get a quarterback that is one of the best of this generation, then you just do it, despite any of the problems with doing it, which is you have to give away a lot, and the player that you're getting has an injury history and all those things. But to me, take the swing. That's like Tampa Bay going and getting Tom Brady, or Denver getting Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was coming off of having his neck literally fused back together, and Tom Brady had not played his best football in his last maybe 2 years in New England, especially his last season. But look, you get an all-time great, just go for it. And that's what I think Burrow and Lamar Jackson are. Jackson's a two-time MVP. Think about last year, Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson was on this year's Minnesota Vikings and had 41 passing touchdowns and 4 interceptions and ran for 900 yards, the Vikings would be like 15-2, right? So you have to just do it. I don't think either one of those are really realistic. So after that, that's when you get into, you have to have someone who's competition, but also if they won the job, you believe could get you to the playoffs. So is that bringing back Kirk, which I think people might want to prepare themselves for that possibility?
No.
Is that? I think it's possible.
No.
I think it's possible. I don't think it's insane. Daniel Jones, possibly.
No,
or
God.
Yeah, I know. I know. That. Well, you know the most reaction of that no, God, no
yeah.
clip that I've gotten is Kyler Murray, which I think is kind of weird. People really don't like Kyler Murray.
I mean, he might not be like the most personable person, but I wouldn't be afraid on taking a flyer on Kyler Murray.
It's very odd because with Kyler Murray, last year, Arizona was in the playoff race despite being bad and having a bad head coach. This year, he gets hurt. They bench him to tank. And they win three games, and everyone's like, Jacoby Brissett did a good job. You're like, wait, why do people hate this guy so much? He's an entertaining player. I think his personality rubs people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's flawed. And the problem is, when you talk about where to go with this quarterback situation, you cannot find me a player who's not flawed. It's Mac Jones. Well, that guy doesn't have a great athletic profile. It's Kirk, who is, we know the ceiling.
Yeah.
Kirk. It's Rodgers. It's you can't present me with a player that they could go get. Another guy I brought up is Geno Smith, where it's gone really badly with the Raiders, but you could certainly see a turnaround here. And there's a bar that's set that if JJ can't outplay that person, then he's probably not an NFL starter, where Kyler Murray, you'd be getting him to start for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at his numbers last year, think about if the Vikings.
What is his contract situation, though?
Well, they're going to have to cut him probably because the contract is untradeable, I think, for Arizona. Listen to these numbers from Kyler Murray last year. Just tell me what the Vikings record would have been with this level of quarterback play.
Okay.
He completed 68% of his passes, threw for 3,800 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 picks, and a 93.5 quarterback rating, and added 572 yards rushing and five more touchdowns, so 26 total touchdowns. What would the Vikings record with this team have been? 11 wins?
I was just going to say 11 wins. You'd be looking at maybe 11-6?
I mean,
good enough to get you in the playoffs?
Is it the same old thing as everything else in Vikings history, which is trying to get a retread and
yes,
revamp him? Oh, yes.
For sure.
You betcha. It is.
There you go.
And I think that's probably what would be the most tilting part, is that you'd be really bailing on the guy that you put all your chips to the middle of the table.
Well,
and then that's bringing in a retread.
And that's my biggest concern with that,
yeah,
is you don't want to give up on the JJ experiment, but if you can say, hey, we're going to push it to the back burner for 1 year, like, you could still have him develop,
yeah,
get those reps in practice or whatever. I mean, I know they're not going to be live rounds in games, but I think the worst thing you do is go out and get somebody and say, this is going to be our new guy for 2 or 3 years. I mean, if you're going to, it's got to be a vet in the short term, because yeah, I still think you have to try and develop JJ.
And Kyler, I mean, he's got his issues. He's way up and down. He's undersized. He doesn't seem to be any type of real leader. But last year, I'm just saying, last year, 2024,
mm-hmm,
his QBR by ESPN, it's like a 1 to 100 scale, he was the ninth best quarterback in the NFL. And if you have him with Justin Jefferson as a pro who's done this before and won games, you could probably compete. It's just the problem is when you back yourself into a corner and you don't want to go forward with your young quarterback,
yeah,
the options are always bad. I mean, look at Indianapolis.
And the optics look bad. Well, Indianapolis, that completely shocked me. I thought when you bring in Daniel Jones, it's competition.
Yeah, right.
But
right,
you're going to go with Anthony Richardson because you drafted him.
Yep.
I mean, I know that Shane Steichen coaching for his job, but I'm like, how can you bring in Daniel Jones?
But that's the point, though. You hit on it, is coaching for your job.
No.
I mean, KOC, we're now at 2022, 23, 24, mm-hmm, 25. That's 4 years with no playoff wins, and the heat starts to turn up.
But now he's finally had a chance to get his quarterback, though.
But his quarterback struggled a lot. So they have to be really sure that J.J. McCarthy is going to take not a small leap forward.
A big step.
Those numbers I just read you were fine. And they look incredible compared to what J.J. McCarthy's numbers were for this year. So you can like McCarthy and believe in him and all, mm-hmm, that stuff. And that's fair because it's a likable kid and he's got a lot of talent. But if you need to win next year, it is the exact same situation as Indianapolis was last year.
All right, finally, Brian Flores, does he stay or does he go?
I think he stays, but I've got it at 50-50. So I guess I don't know then, I should say. 51-49 stays.
Okay.
I think that there is one team in particular as a lateral move that is very enticing. That's the Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
The reality is, if you can't get anyone to pay attention to your lawsuit against the NFL, you can't get any coverage for it in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you could get coverage for it if you turn around the Dallas Cowboys defense. Because ESPN, Fox, everybody else, NBC, they are still obsessed.
They're slurping those Cowboys.
Yep, they are still obsessed with the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, Jerry has gotten cheap in his old age, from my understanding, but he has always been bold. And whether it's stupid bold or genius bold, mm-hmm. he's always been bold. So if he was going to go out and say, hey, I need someone to turn around my defense, I will write a blank check for you. Just like we talked about with Coy Parrish earlier, sometimes you just got to do what's best for you. But I think he has a defense that was really built in his vision here.
Yeah.
I also think it's possible that there are some teams that badly need a competent head coach. And they could just say, you know what? I don't care if you're suing the league. Like, let's just hire him. Because the candidates that are out there, I don't know if you've looked at any of the head coaching candidate lists, just not impressive.
Yeah, I have, and like none of it stood out to me whatsoever.
Right, you're not wowed by like
this is a bad cycle
or something. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
This seems like a bad cycle,
yep, which could play in his favor. So yeah. I think I'll go 51-49.
Okay, well, and again, there's something about the Dallas Cowboys that, of course, is always going to be the higher profile. But yeah, if you want to go under the radar until all of the NFL lawsuit stuff is settled, I mean, no better place in Minnesota because nobody's paying attention to the Vikings.
Well, and does he believe, because look, you know, Brian Flores wants to win. Does he believe in J.J. McCarthy or their quarterback plan? Because I know he's on the defensive side, but their defense had to be heroic this year to get them to 9 wins. And do you want to do that next year? Do you want to be having the offense bumble around and you have to have great defensive performances, or would you rather have your team leading and be sending all of your crazy blitzes like they were in 2020?
See, that would be more fun if you could just have the ears pinned back and the dogs
right,
out.
Right,
that's
exactly
what you want.
So there's a lot to consider there.
There it is.
All right, the Duke's Mayo Bowl is going on, by the way. Wake Forest is up 15-9, if anybody was wondering. But I can't wait for the mayo to be poured.
That's where PJ should have been.
Whatever winning coach. PJ was perfect for
PJ
that.
Was perfect for mayonnaise dumping.
All right, let's take a quick break. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Lake Show with Henry Lake. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Without an Advent clinic nearby, people with chronic nasal congestion and sinus infections would be stuck with either Band-Aids that don't solve your problem or sledgehammer solutions like surgery. Our unique Advent approach can, with a 20-minute in-office procedure, open your blocked nose for good. Outside of Advent, invasive surgery is what they'll recommend. But here, in-office solutions can help you stop the Band-Aids and avoid the sledgehammer.
Go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment. Most insurance accepted.
Financial literacy. It's amazing they don't teach it in school. Listen to the Investing with Confidence show every Sunday at 11 p.m. and join us for a free investing class by texting the word investing to the number 210-210. Take action today and make a change for tomorrow. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today.
Paul Douglas here, inviting CCO listeners to join me in Austria and Germany on our unforgettable Oktoberfest tour, September 23rd to the 30th. Discover breathtaking alpine landscapes, charming villages, and Bavarian traditions. destinations, including a visit to Oktoberfest. See the soaring peaks of the Tyrolean Alps and the fairy tale architecture of Neuschwanstein Castle. Wander historic streets and famous musical attractions of Salzburg, followed by time to explore its UNESCO World Heritage listed Old Town at leisure. Venture underground and uncover the secrets of the Berchtesgaden salt mines before savoring a tasting of cheese, meats, and schnapps at a local farm. Become immersed in local culture with a lively Tyrolean folk dinner featuring traditional dancing, yodeling, and shoe slapping. Our adventure concludes in Munich, where a guided tour and the world-famous Oktoberfest await. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword WCCO Radio. Request a brochure, watch a travel show, and book this tour.
Get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil, a Wix filter, and a $15 gift card after rebate at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Henry Lake.
He is a beautiful, beautiful man.
The Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying.
One thing that I really can't stand about winter is that my dog, who is a greyhound, cannot run around in the backyard without injuring his paw on some ice, which is what happened yesterday. He is a race dog, so he wants to race. He can't just go halvesies. He can't just trot. Can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, just mess around a little bit out here. No, it's got to be like, I'm turning up the gas and I'm flying around the trees in the backyard.
He's got to go, testicular fortitude to the wall.
Yeah, all the way in.
All the way in.
So he comes back inside and he's just being his usual self. And then I look down on the ground and I see a bunch of blood. And I'm like, ah, crap. Well, this happens though. You know, dogs cut their paws and sometimes. And so sure. I, you know, grab a towel and start. And then it's just not stopping. And it looks like something that Quentin Tarantino would have done in a movie. My kitchen turned into The Sopranos with blood everywhere. Like, you know, Richie Aprile. No, is Richie Aprile that Tony Soprano kills over the horse?
Oh,
sorry if I'm spoiling whatever number of years later. And then he cleans it up with bleach. Let me tell you, that's harder than you think. It got everywhere. So then it's New Year's Day, which a lot of vets were closed on New Year's Day, which meant that the emergency vets were the only place that I could possibly go. So I throw a booty on it and it's just bleeding right through it. And I throw him in the car and take him to the emergency vet, which is packed because all the regular vets are closed. So for 2 hours, the dog just bled all over the vet office until finally a heroic veterinarian was able to stitch him back up to health. And let me tell you, when the bill comes for that, why do I have this dog? Like, what?
Did you know it? Did he kind of give you any sort of clues that he was hurt, or was he yelping, or was he
not
like acting
really,
differently?
No. But you know, those dogs can be like that, where they're just like go about their business. They get nicks and cuts all the time on their feet as race dogs. I think they get used to it. And he was just acting like himself, but bleeding everywhere. And the cost of owning a pet, and I know maybe should, for a situation such as this, have pet insurance. And you know what? That should be my New Year's resolution, is to get
pet
insurance. Yes, for next year, because Mr. Buddy, my dog, always finds a way to find himself in the vet's office. It was, I think, October that he got a stomach ache and we had to take him in the middle of the night. And that was a couple thou. And I just like, it's the people who are doing emergency dog, cat, whatever pet you have stuff are heroic in what they do. And, you know, you rely on them so much and it just breaks your heart when, you know, your little pup or your cat or whatever has something. But man, when that bill comes, you want to fight them. What? How much? How much for a stitch? What are we talking about here? So it was, you know, it was a tough New Year's Day for me. And then the worst part is that time between where he's getting the stitches and you got to wait and everything. Yeah. And you know that you can't explain to him what's going on because he's a dog and everybody's been through this. But we got him back to the house, back to full health. And now I need to host a lot more WCCO fill-in in order to pay for Mr.
Buddy for your vet
2026. Yes, exactly. The price of everything is wild, though. I don't know if you have felt this way. This is a real New Year's resolution for me. And I want to talk about the other teams we haven't gotten to, like the Twins.
Well, do you want to take a break and then we'll come back
we
and
can.
Finish it?
Yeah, but let me just
set it up.
Yeah. I'm trying to think now where I was headed with that.
Oh, sorry.
The real New Year's resolution. I'll come up with it in the break and we'll return. Come back in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, here is the real New Year's resolution.
Since I threw you off track.
Yeah. So I went to Taco Bell the other day. Kind of a, hey, I'm coming home. I need a quick meal. And I love Taco Bell.
Yo quiero Taco Bell. Make a run for the board.
I love it. When my wife is out of town, it's the first place I go. It's a great, tremendous Mexican, American inspired type of cuisine, right? And, you know, I know it's not for everybody and I know they got their jokes, but you can't tell me that a nice solid taco, nice solid burrito doesn't hit the right spot. So I cruise on through, grab my number, whatever it was, and it comes out.
Was it 6-7?
I don't know the joke. I'm sorry.
I don't either.
You have a child that would know the joke, right?
Yeah, something about 6-7.
I got whatever it was. And the total came, it was just a meal. It was like a number 12 or something. And it came to $16. I was like, what? Because we were talking about, this is what clicked in my head. We're talking about the prices of just getting some stitches for little doggy.
Yeah, for sure.
That cost as much as my car is worth. But, it was $16. And here's my resolution is just to stop. Stop with the fast food. I want to put it on them. It is on you to bring the prices back to real life because I don't like to cook. But if that's how much you're going to charge for one burrito, one taco and some little chips and a drink, I'm just out. I can't take out a loan to go to a fast food place. I mean, this happened to me at Subway too, where it's like $19 to get the foot long. It's like, this used to be $5. And look, I know everything's more expensive and everybody's got to get their piece of the pie, but the fast food prices in America in general have gone so far beyond that you feel like, wasn't I just paying this to go to big restaurants?
Yeah, it used to be a convenience, right? The convenience of fast food. You go through the drive-thru, you get your food, you feed a family, you can do it affordably, you do it quick, you know what you're getting, and you're kind of going on. You're right, though, because like there are times with three of us, our fast food bill would be like $40 to $45.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't we just go to a sit-down restaurant where we're going, you know, and I don't even like to get, I don't like to get the combos because I figure if I got chips at home, if I got pop at home, why do I need it? Why do I need it? But, you know, when you got a, when you got kids, like I got a 15-year-old and she is just like, got to do this. But yeah, you're right. Like the value meals, it's like, where's the value in it now?
I mean, even I know we're just two old guys complaining about prices and so forth, but this is why it's my New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Because we went and ordered a pizza with, I think it might have been garlic knots. and it was $41. I was like, that, what? I mean,
just like a medium pizza,
just a large pizza for the two of us.
Okay.
And I may have tossed in a Diet Coke, and like you're over.
That's what did it.
$40.
Yeah, that's what did it. Your
right.
Diet Coke is what pushed you over the edge.
So my goal is to not eat at these places until they bring their prices down. And sometimes it's necessity and everything else, but it feels like all of them collectively, the big box places took advantage of inflation and said, how far can we turn up the dial and still have people go through our drive-throughs? And there has been some pushback enough for some stores.
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, but not enough to not have it cost $16 the other day. So that is the true New Year's resolution. We were giving them to sports teams earlier, and a lot of it was just figured out. But let's talk about who we left out of the conversation so far. The Minnesota Lynx, I'm going to give them one, which is to be nice to the refs. Just be nice to them. You get a lot far. What is it? A lot farther with honey than
you attract more with honey than vinegar.
Than vinegar. Yes. Okay. Well, they haven't been. They've been vinegar and a blowtorch against the referees.
They have been urine and vinegar.
And have they? Wow. And have they been wronged? Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh
they yes. Have.
They should have a championship. They beat New York.
Yes, they did.
Would have been in another championship with a good chance to beat Las Vegas last year because they had beaten Las Vegas in the regular season had they not gotten screwed by some insane refereeing that suddenly changed how the refs called the game when it got to the WNBA finals. It's not that they're wrong, but what's the marriage saying, right? Would you rather be right or be happy?
Yes.
Would you rather be right or be happy when it comes to the Lynx? So my New Year's resolution for them is let it go. The refs are probably going to be bad. Move on, and you'll likely get a little farther with them if you stop going into press conferences and lighting them on fire at every chance you possibly can, or getting thrown out of a game because you go insane.
You got to figure out a way to grease the officials.
Yeah, I mean that's.
It's essentially the same
or
thing.
Or just respect them, like in general, and not hammer them every chance you get. It just doesn't. It's not. It doesn't give you.
Maybe they want to be the new villain in the WNBA.
Yeah. Well, they kind of. Yeah,
You think about it, because you know people like Angel Reese versus, you know, Caitlin Clark. To me, that's like the new trying to play Bird versus Magic sort of thing. You know, trying to play good versus bad. And it's like, you need a villain. I feel like every sport needs a villain. And the Lynx, you might as well just embrace this. If people are going to look at you as being whiners and complainers and, you're going to sit here and bitch about everything, then fine. Lean into it. Lean into the fact that people aren't going to like you. And then guess what? You're the traveling roadshow that everybody's going to boo.
Yeah,
More money.
I think they were doing some of that last year. They were a likable group overall, but the team nobody wanted to win was the Minnesota Lynx last year. Probably, well, look, everything could be completely different with the roster next year because there are so many free agents, the new CBA. That's who knows when the season is even going to be.
Well, and people were asking why did Nafisa have her surgeries now? And to me, I'm like, there's going to be a work stoppage. She doesn't have to worry about playing in Unrivaled. Like, she knows there's going to be a work stoppage. So being out 4 to 6 months, okay, I don't think that's really going to affect her at all.
I mean, they seem so far apart that work stoppage does appear likely. To me,
I'm not saying that I want it, but I'm just saying that I can see that as part of the timeline.
To me, they just can't fumble the bag. Like, they've had a lot of success recently, and not being able to come to an agreement would be egregious to ruin a lot of the momentum that they have gained.
Yes.
But if they had a delayed start to the season or something, it would be fine. And when it comes to surgeries, I mean, everybody on the internet thinks that they're a doctor, but you might have had to deal with swelling and things like that. It's not like, oh, the injury happens, you can have surgery tomorrow on every injury.
That doesn't happen that way.
That's not how it works. The Twins, we didn't leave ourselves 4 hours to give them a lot of advice. But what should our New Year's resolution for the Twins be? I mean, is it just, you know, everyone just wants it to be spend money.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would just say the leadership of the team should be really under the white hot light this year. It feels like there has been no accountability for Derek Falvey from the ownership. In fact, they seem to keep promoting him the less success that they have, which has always been bizarre to me. So, what I mean, they just haven't had you won one yeah, playoff they have not- series, so you haven't had almost any success at all with this leadership. And a lot of other teams that are in the same ballpark as you in spending were successful last year and were in the playoffs. I don't think that that is a good enough excuse for me to just give everybody a free pass. I think this is a show it to me mm-hmm. type of year where them trading everybody at the deadline was, oh, now it's like a longer rebuild. I'm not in. I'm not in. I want to see it next year. I want to see you legitimately compete, because when that stadium is empty, it's sad.
It is really sad.
And just having Rocco fall on the grenade, to me, is not enough.
Yeah, to me, Rocco was kind of the fall guy here. You know, and people can say what they want about Rocco. And, you know, did he mismanage things? Did he do this? Did he do that? I will say some of the issues that we saw with Rocco are not Rocco's fault. Like, sometimes you are told to do certain things.
Yeah.
You may not necessarily agree with it, but when your superiors tell you, we want you to do A, B, and C, you kind of have to do A, B, and C. And, I mean, Lake and I do Final Pitch, so we've seen a significant amount of Twins games over the past few years. And I feel like I can actually speak on this. It is very frustrating. I will say that this franchise has been extremely tone deaf for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But the change where they took Joe Pollad and replaced him with his brother Tom, maybe that's moving around deck chairs on the Titanic for a lot of fans. But I do think that Tom Pollad's comments where he came out and said, hey, basically we screwed this up. We treated our fan base poorly. We made some bad decisions. It's on us to win back the fan base. That's a good start. You bring in other minority owners, a guy like a Craig Leopold who's willing to absorb the money. We know that the Quinn Hughes deal, I don't know if he'll have any input on, you know, personnel moves, you know, in terms of money going there. I don't think that's going to be a factor, but I do think that they have shown that they have acknowledged the unhappiness in the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good start for them. I feel like that's a good start. You got to build off of that, because the last 2 years, just show us that you listen. Show us that you're listening. At least they're listening and they're making some changes. So they do have a good farm system. There's no question. You're keeping your top three guys that were on the trade market, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, and Byron Buxton. You've got a good farm system that is one of the top five in Major League Baseball, partly because you blew it all up at the trade deadline. AL Central is not a strong division. Mm-hmm. And if the Tigers are going to possibly still look at dealing Turk Skubal, then, I mean, things are still wide open in a very weak AL Central.
For me, it's just about, like, I understand what happened with the spending where they get the playoff series win and then they don't come back and keep certain players around that then performed in other places. They don't make a move in 2024 at the deadline that maybe could have gotten them.
And after 2023, that was the time to make the move.
Right. And then they, you know, Rocco has the team fall apart on him at the end of 2024 and they run that back, which to me, it was so fundamental of an issue with the team not running the bases correctly and things like that, that do fall on the manager at the end of the day. And then he just comes back and then it has felt like a lack of accountability there. I think now it has to turn to Derek Falvey, because you're the guy who is building the roster, and it always comes down to that in baseball. Who's got the strongest roster? Last year was not even close, and it's not like we can look back and go, wow, they've had all these years before. This is just a bad break, or give them time, or whatever. I just think that it's been middling, and their success was one playoff series win and then an immediate out after that. At some point, you have to say, is this really enough at that position? Because it really is.
Well, you got to figure out the right pieces to put around here, because they tried the Carlos Correa, and I give them credit for that, but it didn't work. You know, they've gone out and they've made these moves and they haven't worked. They haven't been able to put the right pieces together. And I think for them, everything has got to break right. But the problem too with that is if you don't have that depth,
you got to have the health, and they haven't had the health either. And that's a big problem. And hopefully now that they can, you know, they can rebuild the farm system, let's see what happens.
All right, the other team in town that needed a New Year's resolution, the Minnesota Wild, but it's just right there. It's the same New Year's resolution. It's you with whatever yours are that you fail at every year, Tubbs. Mm-hmm. It's just get past the first round. Just do it.
That's
the resolution. Just, you got to make it happen. It has to happen this year, Minnesota Wild. You've made the big move, and I'm all in. I'm all in on the Wild. I mean, Quinn Hughes, to me, is a legit needle-moving superstar, and I think that they could make even another move at the trade deadline. Sidney Crosby wants to come here. That's fine. I know that it probably won't be that, but, you know, something to add to the squad. But they are playing as good as anybody in the NHL right now, and that happens, it seems, every year where there's a stretch that we think, oh, they're for real. But this year, there you go. This year, they have Quinn Hughes, and that's the difference. And keeping Kaprizov, like, it's so not Minnesota sports to keep Kaprizov and then also add another superstar. Usually it's letting that guy go and then being the team that, oh, Minnesota was in on this trade and it didn't happen.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah. I hate that. Oh, they were in on it. No, they weren't.
Congrats. Yeah, put up we were in on it banner. I cannot wait.
We were in on it banner. I like that.
I cannot wait for next week. Miami and Ole Miss. Ole Miss's offense, Miami's defense. What a matchup that is going to be. And then on Friday, Indiana versus Oregon.
Mm.
Just look at what Oregon's defense was able to do. Fernando Mendoza's become the most fun player to watch in college football. This could be the two quarterbacks. Smooth jazz.
Yeah, the Mariah was done, so I just put it back to Miles Davis. Oh. Well, you said make it happen, and I threw up some Mariah Carey, make it happen.
Oh, I see. Wow. You're just working on a different level.
This is what happens when they give me 10 days off, and then I've got another five off. I'm inspired to do something.
Indiana, Oregon, to me, is, I think those are the two best teams. I mean, Ole Miss showed their quarterback can really make it happen. And, right? Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh, and, Chambliss, make it happen.
And Miami's defense is very strong. Carson Beck is a veteran quarterback at this point. But I think Ole Miss has a great chance to win that game. That one's, it's a good battle. But Oregon and Indiana are the two teams that I think are the best remaining. And they have the quarterback matchup of two guys that could be drafted in the first round this year. So to have those two get to go head-to-head on Friday night. And then the National Football League playoffs start without us, Tubbs. I'm going to, you know, this week, I remember last year where I was, what I was doing, flying to Detroit, getting to that stadium.
Yes, I remember that.
Think about what's happened since then. Oh my God. I get to Ford Field and the intro to the game and everything else, the energy. There's nothing like games with that much importance this time of the year. And we're just left out of them. That's what I think will define 2025 as we move and turn the page to 2026 with the Vikings. What will define 2025 for me is it started with massive disappointment in Detroit and then in Glendale against the Rams. And then that massive disappointment never stopped. And
that disappointment was the highlight of the year.
And also, think about this. The year 2025 of our lives, how many good Minnesota Vikings football games did we see? So we saw 16 of them this regular season, and two more in January last year. We saw 19 football games. The ones to start the year were terrible. Chicago was pretty good for week one, but then, I mean, wasn't a great game. It's kind of a great comeback.
Yeah, it was a great comeback. Yeah, it was the story in the fourth quarter that made it good.
How many times did I show up at a stadium, or did you sit down to watch a game, or you attend at US Bank Stadium? I know you go to a lot of games. How many times did it happen that the Minnesota Vikings played in 2025 and you walked out of the game going, whew, that was some good football?
Maybe
not many.
Twice?
At Detroit, November 2nd, 27-24, McCarthy returns. Very exciting win.
I'd say that was a good football game.
Yeah, that was a good football game.
Dallas, 34-26, national TV. McCarthy plays well. That's all I got. The Eagles game was a pretty compelling game because they had a chance at the end.
Yeah.
I don't think it was well played, though.
No.
Cleveland game-winning drive, not well played. Ugly.
No, Cincinnati, you beat a hapless team that didn't play defense. And they didn't have Joe Burrow.
So we got to see two good football games in an entire year.
Mm-hmm. Both of them on the road against teams that start with D's, which is what you could give the grade of the team so far this year.
Yeah. Well, it's a new year, and they'll play the Packers.
It's a new us.
And then off we go into an offseason where a lot could change. Thanks for Henry Lake letting me fill in. Appreciate you, Tubbs.
Appreciate you, dude.
Talk to everybody another time. Stay safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.